Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
We start a new series, all right, titled Cravings, dealing with the root of addictions. Are you excited about that? Yeah. We must always show our excitement about the word. Now, this teaching on the subject of addiction is going to be... So let me give you this background. I like to, by God's mercies, bring God's word to people in a way that you can relate with. Okay? And having heard the word, you don't have a question of what should I do. You know what to do. Is that okay now? Good. So I'm going to give you a few backgrounds. Turn your Bibles with me. Please turn your Bibles. Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6. Let's start the reading from Romans 6. If you are there, say amen. Let's start the reading from verse 16, and I will have to go back up. Romans 6, 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, a servant ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, of obedience unto righteousness. All right, let me read again. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, the servant ye are, or a servant ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Now, having established that, let's go back. That's in Romans 16. That's in Romans 6. Let's start reading from verse 1. Romans 6 from verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him in baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Now verse 11 is very critical. I'm going to explain what we have been reading. It said, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instrument of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive, freed from sin, and your members as instrument of righteousness unto God. Now, very, very, all right, important reading. So let me give you an explanation. All right, that verse 2 says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How shall we that are dead to sin? went on to say that our old man, this old man is not your dad, you say old man, or pops, no. Our old man is crucified, okay? So that we should henceforth not be slaves to sin. I want you to understand that. So let me give you very simple illustration for you to understand what the Bible is saying. Let me have two brothers. In fact, can I have seven brothers? Let me give you an illustration. Are you with me? Please, can you form a circle? Join your hands together. Form a circle. Don't forget this illustration. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Can I have two more? Let me have two more. Please come. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Please come. Okay. The circle is complete now. Can I have one person in the middle? Okay. Can you spread out a bit? Please don't forget this illustration. This is the old man. And what you see around him is a nature. When you study the book of Romans, most of the use of the word sin is not verb, but a noun, indicating a personality, a nature. Now, this is the old man. He has what is called the nature of sin. This nature is not a function of an action. This man may be moral, never slept with a girl outside marriage, never stole, came from a family where they all pray, they do all those things, never. But as long as he is born by man, he has this nature. No amount of good works can change the fact that he has the nature of sin. Okay? This is the man. Now, this nature of sin, this is where it gets serious. In this nature, while this is his nature, the things that he's doing with this nature form something called appetite. More like there's something in anatomy called muscle memory. It's getting used to something. Just simple as that. All right, there's an appetite. If the guy is smoking, all right, smoking is the appetite. If he's sleeping with girls, it's the appetite. Now, this is the nature. The moment this guy accepts the life of Christ, the Bible is saying that from that moment, the part of him that is alive in this nature is dead. As a matter of fact, this nature is dead. He didn't faint, he died. Now, the man now has a new nature, more like a new enclosure. Can you come again? Form another circle now. Around him again, please. Now, this is a new nature. And this nature is the nature of righteousness. This new nature is not a function of his works. The same way this previous one was not a function of his works. This new nature is a gift. Christ decided that from today, when you stand before God, you have my own nature. It was demonstrated when Jacob went to steal the blessings of Esau. He put on the skin of an animal that was killed. It was that skin that Isaac touched that provoked the blessing. So when the Bible says, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, we can come boldly because it doesn't matter what I don't know how to do right. I am coming not as Femi Lazarus. I am coming as Femi Lazarus Christ. I am not the Christ, but I carry the nature of the Christ. So when God sees me, he accepts me the same way he accepts the Christ. You can never break free from sin until you understand this. Because you'll be fighting in the energy of the flesh. Meanwhile, the flesh cannot win. Now, this is the funny thing about this nature. It's the fact that the part of this guy that was rebirthed or reborn when he died to the old nature is his spirit. There is a part that didn't die. That's the soul. And it is in that soul that you have those appetites. So meaning that this guy may confess Jesus today, but the appetite for smoking is still there. It doesn't mean anything is wrong with him. He just needs to grow. He's confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior today. The appetite for pornography is still there. So the guy sit down, begin to doubt. Maybe I did not get born again very well. Maybe the doctors that were trying to supervise me being born again, they made a mistake. No. Follow what I'm teaching you. So he still has this appetite. He still have these cravings. Look at what the Bible says about this. John chapter number 15 verse 3. Please don't leave. John chapter number 15 verse 3. John chapter number 15. Verse 3. Now look at it. The Bible says, can we read this together? 1, 2, 3, go. Now ye are clean through the word that I have spoken unto. Can we read it again? Now look at this. Different ways to speak the same word. John 17 verse 17. Quickly. Can you give us John 17, 17 in NIV or any other translation? John 17, 17. Or you can use Amplified, preferably. John 7. Okay. Okay. Thank you for this. Make them holy, consecrated with the truth. Your word is what? Truth. Listen to what I'm saying. What changed this man from the nature of sin into the nature of righteousness is when he believes in his heart that Jesus is the Son of God and confesses Lordship with his mouth, the nature changes. Is that okay now? Listen to what I'm saying. The nature has changed. But what will take away the desires, the memory of the things he has done in the flesh that has now formed another appetite? It's beyond just confessing Jesus. Now there will be a need for the word as an instrument of cleansing. Romans chapter number 12 from verse 1 to 2. Romans chapter number 12 from verse 1 to 2. Very, very powerful scripture. Now look at it. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed. Somebody say transformation. Say it again, transformation. By the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable. Now that scripture may look ambiguous until you see the book of James chapter number 1. I'm going somewhere. James chapter number 1. If you're there, say amen. Are you there now? Now look at what the Bible says. Can we give us from 21? James 1, 21. James 1, 21. Please look at this critically. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness. Who should do it? Come on, who should do it? Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of nothingness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your souls. This is the reason why whenever you decide that I believe in God, but I don't do church, you have entered a trap. Because the word of God will need to be taught, and then you will receive it with meekness. Now what is happening is that there is the washing, all right, of the water. There is the washing of the word. You just notice, as I'm sitting under the word, something is changing about me. I just noticed that the things I used to have appetite for, it's like the appetite is reducing. I just noticed that I am no longer really interested in those things because the word of God is working the works of washing. That is what the word does. The word is washing. It is cleansing. It is taking away the appetite. Listen to this. If you look from human perspective, if care is not taken, you may not see a difference between the old man and the new man. That is what happens when the new man rejects the word. It won't grow. We receive with meekness the engrafted word of God that will be able to do what? Grow thereby. Please be seated. Let me show you something. Let's celebrate this man. Give me this scripture, Isaiah chapter number 10, verse 27. Isaiah 10:27. If you are there, say amen. All right, we'll wait for those who are not there, including me. Isaiah chapter number 10, verse 27. Are you there now? And it shall come to pass in that day that the burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. You know, when we read this scripture, usually, particularly in Nigerian context, what we do is that we apply this scripture in the direction of deliverance. In the name of Jesus, the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. That's not what the Bible is saying there. In fact, the word anointing here does not mean anointing as in power. Okay? Please listen to what I'm saying. Have you seen animals, cattle that are yoked before? You see, when you travel the north, they use it more in the north. You see cattle, you see yoke around their neck. And what happens with the yoke is that the yoke makes it so. All right? You can't yoke a cattle, you yoke two together. And then a burden is placed there, maybe to till a ground, to form ridges or something. Anywhere there's yoke, there's weight. Listen to that. Anywhere there's yoke, there's what? There is weight. There's a burden. All right? But you yoke two cattle together. You put the thing. So when they are going to fix the yoke, there is a neck size that those yoke can enter. Is that okay now? It fits to their neck. So when the Bible says that the yoke shall be destroyed, the Bible is actually saying that you will get to a point, because the word anointing there is the word rimon, that means fatness. You will come before the same yoke. It can no longer enter your neck because you have grown fat. That's the meaning. That is, are you following what I'm saying? The same thing that will have drawn, all right, a nature that wants to compel something from you. The same thing happened, but somebody has fed so fat on the word. The yoke has broken. Yes, sir. That's what the Bible is saying. In fact, give us that same scripture in another translation. Give me where it talks about fatness. As we are feasting on the word, you cannot reject the word and wonder why the nature of sin is reigning. What God used to address it is the word. Let me tell you something. When you sit in an atmosphere of the word, you don't have to feel that a yoke is broken. It is actually breaking. We don't measure spiritual activities by feelings. It is a consciousness. You must get out of the realm of feelings. You'll be trapped. See, let me say this to you. Even if you sit under a pastor who is not sound, as long as it's an atmosphere of the spirit, your life has changed. Your life has changed. Can they give me this? He said, and in that day his burden will depart from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck. The yoke will be broken because of what? The fat. It's just like they brought the same trouser, but it's no longer your size. It can't enter. Somebody say, I make progress. Say it again loud and clear. Say, I make progress. Say, I make progress. Let me say this to you. What people do when they are dealing with the issue of addiction is that they refuse to grow fat and they wonder why the yoke is there. Now, I break it now. I'm going to show you dimensions to that. But something that didn't build in one day. Are you following what I'm saying? You will have to build counter structures against it. Counter what? Structures. It's a very deep matter that we are dealing with. Are you following what I'm saying? But you must understand this. First, never lose sight. The reason why you are even in a battle is because you don't have the nature of sin. The reason why you are saying, I'm struggling with addiction, is because that's not your niche. If you are a sinner, you will not call it struggle, it's a lifestyle. The reason why you do it and feel guilty is because you have left. That's no longer your. You must understand that. You have the nature of righteousness, but there was a follow-come. And the follow-come is the appetite. We now deal with that follow-come with the word. Do you understand what I'm saying? We are being transformed from one level of glory to another level of glory by the same image that we behold. Let me tell you this. I'm not going to give you this so you can become complacent. Jesus led 12. Sometimes, you know, because I train leaders and I train people for management purpose and all those things, I ask questions. I want to wonder by what rating we said Jesus, the ministry of Jesus, is the most successful ministry. Imagine pastoring for 3.5 years. And in Act 1, Peter was still asking, will you at this time restore the kingdom back to it? So he was thinking it was about a political thing. Do you understand? There was a thief amongst them. There was one that doubted. He said, see, if you like, stand here with thorns on your head until I touch this thing. I know you are the one. Forget it. He followed him for 3.5 years. And Jesus never looked at any one of them and said, go and die. A homie pastored you. You are still thinking like this. Your life is finished. He is patient. You need to understand this. He's patient. And where the devil really gains advantage over Christians is something called condemnation. Listen, never forget this. God told Adam, he said, don't eat of the tree in the middle of the garden. The day you eat of it, you will die. Say you will die. They ate it. But they noticed physically they were still alive. But they noticed they were naked. So they hid themselves. And they covered themselves with fig leaves and began to hide. Then God came that evening and said, Adam, where are thou? Where are you? Let's leave all this thou. Where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I hid myself, for I'm naked. God did not say, have you eaten the fruit? God said, who told you? Sin is not the end. It is an avenue for you to believe something. The moment you fall into sin, the devil can now go ahead and tell you what he wants to tell you, that you are not really loved. Your life is finished. You are naked. You can no longer do what God said you should do. You are no longer important. You are finished. It is called condemnation. Once you believe it, you will struggle to come out. Sin, all right, is a nature, can also be an act, but condemnation is the grip. Let's take sin as a prison. The doors is condemnation. So Paul speaking to the Romans in Romans 8, verse 1. Powerful word. Romans 8:1 says, there is now. Come on. Say it again. Say it again. There's therefore now no more condemnation to them which are in. Hold on. Please hold on. Amongst these them, we have that one that is still struggling with pornography. You must understand that. Amongst these them, there is still that one that is struggling with lies. There is that one that is struggling with betting, gambling. I'm going to take a day to talk on the issue of gambling and how much of a serious issue it is. There is one that is addicted to phone. Are you aware phone is an addiction? In fact, it is projected that in the next 5 years, phone will be one of the leading causes of divorce. Okay? There is the one who is addicted to any good thing that you can no longer set yourself free from is an addiction. It doesn't matter how good it is. It becomes bad. There is now, therefore, no condemnation. You see, the moment you can perceive God right, that he is not the one trying to kill me or rejecting me in this, then you will actually understand that he's the one trying to bring you out. Then you'll be able to align. You must have righteousness consciousness. You must have it. 2 Corinthians 5. I need to build. Okay? So I'm going to build. Once we get there, I will comment. 2 Corinthians 5. Amen. Are you following me? Are you sure? I'm trying to establish a very good foundation for us to build on. 2 Corinthians 5. Because today is going to be like 4 Sundays. So follow me, please. 2 Corinthians 5, we'll start the reading from 5, we'll start the reading from verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who had reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and had given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing, somebody say not imputing their trespasses to them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he had made him sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We have the nature of righteousness. We have it. What this means is that we have the nature. Righteousness is to have right standing before God. We have been justified. We won a court case without a lawyer. We have that nature. It is our nature. But we still have, listen to what I'm saying. At some point, Paul was saying, he said, the things I want to do, I find myself not doing them. The things I don't want to do, those are things I find myself doing. He said, there are two laws at war in my members. It does not change the fact that my real person is righteous. But like I said, there is something that the world will need to now do. See, if you don't understand this righteousness as a nature, you will be a judgmental person. Listen to what I'm saying. People who judge and criticize others do so because they are not even fair on themselves too. The first victim of their nature is themselves. And I'm sorry to say this, all right? I believe that many Nigerian ministries look scary, not because that's the way God is, but because of upbringing. The upbringing of a minister can affect the texture of the ministry. And once that happens, you begin to have inspiration in that direction. And then you will have scripture in the direction. Before you know it, a clan is formed of vile, hateful, and hungry people. Yes. That's why when many Nigerians leave Nigeria, travel to America, travel to Germany, if care is not taken, you will struggle to understand how that some people... You know, one time I sat down and I'm like... So I was attending a church. I was like, before the Holy Spirit will move, we'll have to gather like seven cycles and begin to shout, Holy Ghost, fire! Holy Ghost, fire! Oh, fire, fire! Once we are done shouting, the person that you want to conduct deliverance for, you have turned the person around, around, and the person, let me now fall down so I can have peace. Fall down for you. Why does it take that stress for the Holy Ghost to move amongst us? It is not the nature of the Spirit, it's the nature of our heart. I was teaching the people in the house about morning devotion that, you know, when we get to heaven, the Bible said there will be no more pain. There will be no more tears. You think it's that easy for a Nigerian who has gotten his very essence in problem? Say, we brag with problem. Do you know what I have been through? And this one I say, do you know what me to... So it means you will get to that place that problem is no more a bragging right. It will take 1,000 years of millennium reign to adjust to a life of no tears. 1,000 years to begin to adjust that there will be no more problem. I've seen a girl take the husband to divorce him. Said, I can't marry him. Said, he's too kind. It means she was groomed in problem. You understand what that means? Like, if you don't see problem, look for problem. Like, I just can't cope. You mean there's no... It is the same way we perceive God. You just can't believe that the God up there loves me. You say, are you... Pastor Chris talked about the time he was preaching to somebody, the person was smoking, and he just kept on preaching. And at some point, the guy was confused. Are you saying you are not saying the Father, I'm smoking? He said, I can see it. Jesus still loves you that way. Ah, the guy was shocked. I'm telling you, the greatest struggle of your life is not giving love, it is accepting it. You don't have issue giving love. That's why you feel spent. You have given so much love. But can you accept what you give? That's the... See, the acid test of that is the reason why they will tell you you look good. You say it's God. It's not God wearing that wig. It's you. And they are saying, learn to accept it and say thank you. You deflect compliment because you don't trust it. If they talk about it too much, you start suspecting. Why is he saying that? Or they greet somebody on Monday morning. Say, good morning. Say, what's good about the morning? See, when I read the Bible, I like to read it based on... We need to understand the context. Okay, how do you think an Egyptian will feel reading about the, say, the Pharaoh you see, the Egyptian state where you see them no more? They can practically feel that your Bible was written against us. And there are realities. There are cultural realities. It does not change the nature of Scripture. God is love. Let's soak it in. Say it again, God is love. Okay, say it again, God is love. Is that simple? That looks quite simple. Okay. Say it again, God loves me. Not the changed me, this me. He's not trying to change me, then he can now love me. He loves me the way I am. He's not reserving a kind of love for the changed version. He's not reserving a kind of love for the mature version. He loves me. And he has always loved me. Before I was formed, he knew me. Not one amongst, not a strand of my hair will fall without his notice. I am heavily defended.
Yes, sir.
All right, we need to establish this. If not, any teaching on addiction will be judgment. We need to establish this. Let me ask you a question. Why is God pursuing you with his mercy? Some of you have decided several times, I'm done with this God. But he keeps coming back. Just keep chasing you. You go to a new territory, say, I'm not doing church in this new place. But just the moment you decide, you just say, let me try this place out. Only to get there and discover that he's been waiting. The sickness that killed others, you went through it and came back alive. Why? The Bible says it that breaks the hedge, the serpent will strike. You've broken the hedge several times. No scar. Why? It's not because you are invincible. It's because his love is deep. And this is the gospel. No transformation can occur until we accept his love. And that's the same thing for marriage, okay? If you want to change a partner you have not accepted, you frustrate yourself and frustrate that partner. The real agent of change is love. I saw a movie years back, like Stars on Earth, how that love can bring anybody out of a pit. Any pit. That's the nature of God. Is that okay now? Say it loud and clear, I am loved.
I am loved.
Say it again, I am loved.
I am loved.
I have the nature of Christ.
I saw
a video, I can't remember whether on Al Jazeera or CNN. A guy just killed a boy, and there were two in their family that his father gave birth to in America. Just killed the boy, and while they were in the court, a white guy killed a black boy. And you know what that is? The boy whose brother was killed went to meet the boy that killed his brother, and he hugged him. Stand up, and he hugged him. I forgive you. I forgive you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. It was until then that the boy that killed the guy, all the judgment they were giving him, was just looking. When that boy hugged him, he broke down in tears. Love can penetrate where criticism can enter. See, if we understand this, you will discover that some people are misbehaving because they have given up. That everybody must have a taste of the pain I'm going through in life. The world will feel it. What will transform them? Love. You have so much love to give. You have so much love. And unfortunately so, we have a very hardened culture in Africa. Our nature is hard. Very hard. I've always said this. I believe the new Nigeria will be born. But I think if the church refuses to prepare, many pastors will go to jail. You just call somebody out in church and say, you stand up, you're a witch. There's camera. Everywhere. Okay, the fellow is a witch. Mm-hmm. When you are done casting out the spirit, the person has said, "Thank you, Pastor, but I'm going to sue you." Say for what? The character. Lawyers. I tell pastors, you want to lay hands on somebody, you say, "All the ushers, leave. Now, let the Holy Ghost touch." You will go to prison. Let that person fall and break the head. Wake up, didn't wake up. All the anointing from church is members that will say, "Pastor, you are not going to." You know, this happened to me. Yeah, it did. I went to preach somewhere. Hey, Jesus. I didn't check. People that were smoking in there, I went to preach. I said, "You know, you can be filled with the Holy Ghost." And I said, yes, I want it. That's how I laid hands. Take it now. The boy fell down. I said, "Yeah, that's it. That's the Holy Ghost." So, guys, I'm going to see you guys some other time. They say, "Pastor, no go." "Pastor, no go. You go wake him." No, I say, no. He's slain under the. Say, "No. May you wait. May you wake." If that boy did not wake, this ministry will not be here. They will beat. Check it. Okay. I'm just trying to establish something, sir. All the definitions you have of what love looks like, they are faulty. You'll have to learn love as you follow God. Say it again, He loves me. Say it again loud and clear. God loves me. I'm a love child of a love God. Oh, yes. Okay. So when you understand that, where addictions come from is actually the appetite. What you have been doing with your soul and your body before your spirit man was reborn. That is where addictions come from. So let me give you a few definitions. This is introductory class to it. Now, to be addicted is to be hooked on something. To be addicted is to be hooked on something. To be at a state where you are no longer in control of what you are hooked on. To be addicted is to be hooked on something. To be at a state where you are no longer in control of what you are hooked on. An addiction is a pathological relationship. Please note that. I'm going to explain. A pathological relationship to mood-altering experience or experiences that has life-damaging consequences. A pathological relationship to mood-altering. So most time people are hooked on things because they can give them a new reality. Okay? More like the way you have virtual reality. This addiction is a form of psychological reality. Okay? An addiction, right, is a habit or practice that damages. A habit or practice that damages, jeopardizes, or shortens one's life or quality of life. And when seized, causes trauma. Alright, don't forget what I said. To be addicted is to be hooked. It is when something is holding you down longer than you want to stay. That's what it means to be addicted. Now, it is very important that you understand how addictions form so you can know how to come out. So I want to give us a background. How do they form? How do we form addictions? Now, as I made my research on these different forms of addiction, we're going to pick them one by one. I discovered that most people develop certain habits within certain age range. Okay? That is, you are more likely to be prone to certain habits within certain age range. Most times they are formed early through wrong exposure. Wrong exposure. Okay? So, children, teenagers, they are more prone to developing certain habits as a way of escaping the challenges of their own reality. So what people do is that you create a reality that is an escape. Okay? That's how they are formed. That's the first way. Number two, most addictions are formed when people are in their lowest moment. Please note that. They are formed when people are in their lowest moment. All right? Look at this. When you go through your lowest moment in life, what you have is pain. Maybe the moment of divorce, moment of isolation, moment of depression. Somebody has just lost a job. Somebody has just lost a child. Somebody has just lost this. That moment where you hit your all-time low. What happens is that you start looking for a way to escape the reality of that feeling. Okay? And to escape the reality of that feeling, there is a cave system that people can now crawl into as a way of escaping the reality. It happens when there is isolation. Are you following what I'm saying here? It's a cave system. Somebody is sad, but he doesn't want to think about it, then escape into something. That thing you are escaping into becomes a hand that holds you longer than you want to stay. Do you know that that's how people even develop phone addictions? You see a couple talking, and if the man does not want, what the woman is saying is simple. And women, please, you need to understand this. As men, we may have six packs, but we fear you guys. I think the most the most devastating, not devastating thing you can tell a man that can shake his foundation is, I need to talk to you. Particularly when you are not smiling. Babe, we need to talk. The guy start thinking, would it be that? Okay, then he comes. And when you are talking, as a way of not giving all the attention, so that thing will not eat him too much, he needs to deflect it. It's just like falling from a building. There's a way you fall, your spine will crack. Okay? So you want to share the weight. So people share weight of life issues on other things, so it can be deflected there. Then you see pressing phone. Say, babe, I'm talking. So I have ears, I can hear you. I'm not just pressing phone. I'm doing something. I'm talking with a business partner. No, you are escaping. And if care is not taken, it's a way to escape the reality of this life. All right? So things are going on. You don't want to feel the heat, social media. And as much as they are creating all these social media platforms, all these things, they are good, but they are also dangerous. Because you will develop a life outside of natural human interactions. If care is not taken, you come to a point where you can no longer relate with people. Some of the leading cause of erectile dysfunction is pornography. Escape into it. Okay? And then there's a way these algorithms seem to listen to what you are saying. That if you talk about shoes, they will bring the advertisement. And before you know it, say, this. So as you are looking at social media, going to, depending on the areas that is catching your attention, you can get used to just window shopping. What's the price of this? Price of that? And before you know it, all right, anxiety is forming. You're already anxious. Okay, how much are they selling this car now? Just checking. Some people have saved over 100 gowns. Screenshot the picture. I'm not saying it's bad, but just small, eh? What the devil, listen to what I'm saying. The most important battle cry of the devil is to get anybody into isolation. That's the most important. That is the most important thing. Get people into isolation. Get them cut off from people. Get them off their normal relationships. Get them off this. Now we are seeing people are dying in their house and they have died for 2 months. Nobody knows because they are not interacting with people. They won't greet their neighbors. And it looks as though the richer you become, the more isolated you become. There's no beauty to any big house if you don't have people inside. There are things that God has provided that they define wealth at his level of wisdom. People. Relationships. The fact that we can interact. And let me beg you something. As God lifts you, never throw away human relationship. Because there's the tendency to get into isolation because of fear. People will hurt you, but you still need people. You're going to build it. Okay? You are going to build it. In fact, it's now so bad that people want to get married. There's nobody that can be their best man or chief bridesmaid. They call people that they have no emotional connection to and say, can you help? So I can help. Build relationships. Quality ones. People you can laugh together, play together, cry together, love God together. Is that okay now? And sometimes they may not understand your reality, but it does not change the fact that you need them. That's the fact. Okay? Very important. So, the most important battle cry of the devil is to get a person into isolation. Most display of addictions happens in isolation. Nobody just owns a laptop. Oh yeah, put a laptop here. Start playing pornography. Nobody will do it. You will not have erection. Because sin repels light. It happens in the dark. You are hooked on pornography. You will notice you always off light. And look at the way we are looking now. The people in Spirit of Light Church fell from heaven. Maybe this message, I'm even teaching everyone. How will I be teaching people who are this Holy Ghost filled about addiction? They don't understand what I'm saying. But I will teach it. Because people don't look like what they are going through. And you don't have to look like it. Trying to look like your problem is a sign of low self-esteem. You are trying to call attention that I'm not as important as you think. But you are important. Okay? Very important. So people form addiction at their lowest moment. What the devil does is to get into isolation then give you a toy. That's what he likes. Get into isolation and then give you a toy. Are you aware that flirting is an addiction? Just randomly telling girls that you look amazing. Randomly. Random sampling. We don't talk about these things in church because people don't look like it in suit. But I will talk about it. Just like to take girls high, then disappear. He will just get missing in their life. He's calling. He will do that for like 2 weeks. Just once he sees that, okay, then disappear. He's no longer talking to her again. He's moved to another girl. Wow, you know I love the gown you wore to church today. It's so gorgeous. He has all these sweet words. He doesn't like her. He's just used to raising the dopamine. That's who he is. And he doesn't even know that what he's doing is bad. He doesn't know. It gets to a point that you know. It becomes wickedness. Because you are not going to browse the site. You keep hanging around it. And the girls are keeping seat. Only for you not to go and sit down. I'm saying, no. We need to talk about the issue of flirting. I said it can be an addiction. Always commenting under the post of fine girls. You are the most beautiful girl I've seen today. Always. If you check 5 posts, he's liking them, all the fine girls, and say, I just love the beauty of creation. A tree is not part of creation, my brother. Did God not make the beds of the air? There's toxic admiration. Toxic admiration. There's toxic admiration. Okay. I don't know if girls flirt with boys. But okay, somebody sent me a message. Somebody sent me a message on Instagram. And say, I just like you. Can I take you on a local dish date? Hey? I say, Egbami. All of the work in front of me, this is what you are sending. I just screenshot the thing and forwarded to my wife. See, somebody likes your husband. So you can... In case the girl is here, I've reported you. Because these things thrive when you keep quiet. Yes. Somebody likes you as a married man. Tell your wife. The day you tell your wife, that's the day it dies. Women and territory, they will keep you safe. Your wife will just come to the office at the time that secretary is trying to serve tea. And say, can you excuse us? The owner is here. Nothing is more humbling like when the wife of a man shows up and send all the crushes out. Can you please excuse us? I want to talk to my husband. Don't colonize your wife. you'll be a wall without defense. Don't colonize your wife. Don't colonize your wife. You know, I said it that don't marry a man whose phone you can't check. I sell people, Nigerians. Okay, no problem. What is even shocking was that women were also hating the statement because they were raised in abuse. There's a way, see, there's a way abuse can school you that you can't do life without it. At the peak of abuse, you fall in love with your abuser. Are you following what I'm saying? That's the truth. The moment there's something to not to check, then another world is building. It will destroy the home. It will. It doesn't matter how innocent it is. I tell myself, all the thing that God wants me to enjoy in a woman is in my wife. Period. Any other thing is vain imagination. Period. That's the fact. You don't seem to like that statement. You are quiet. Men, are you here?
Yes, sir.
Or you have left the WhatsApp group? So when people go through pain, the devil uses that pain to lure them into his own world. It gives them a form of escape that will become a slave master. Form of escape. Number three, addictions are formed sometimes through curiosity. Curiosity. I want to know what this feels like. Those who are addicted to alcohol were not born like that. It started from sending them to return bottles and then drinking what is left. That was how I had my first taste of Gouda. It was one Egma Dubo that said, return the bottle. I said, these three people are drinking. Let me check. I drank. I said, it is bitter. Say, no, maybe it's not bitter. Let me go to one cup. Maybe it's this one that is bitter. That's how you will go. The bitter thing will now become sweet. I know we have defense. That the Bible didn't actually say that. You should not drink alcohol. Today is not the day. I'm going to come to that subject. Okay? In fact, I'm not going to tell you whether it's good or bad. I'll just show you the effect across scriptures. If you like it, copy and paste. That's very simple. Okay? People form addiction through curiosity. At some point, you wanted to know what it feels like to talk to a girl. Then you want to know what it feels like to touch a girl. Okay? One time, I wanted to know what it feels like to kiss a girl. So there's one girl in church, always talking, always going home. I've seen things in this life. So I would stand in front of the mirror and practice. Okay, so after we have talked, Instead of me to go to my house, I will trek. Like you are trekking from here to central area. You trek and just be gisting. Yeah, gist. So I practice how I would do it. I would hold her hands. I would look at her and kiss the girl. So that was exactly what I did. We just left church. I've not gotten home. I have done it. Then, I was so happy that, oh, see, this was the feast. Like, okay. Then, of course, you now enter into buyer's remorse. That is not really just there. As I left the guest, she said, bye-bye. Say it to bye-bye. See you some other time. She will like it. I now discovered that the car that was parked in front is my dad's car. The moment we had done the thing, he just moved and left and went home. Hey. So I got home and I saw him sitting down watching news. He said, Femi, how's church? I just said in my mind, see, if you will rebuke me, do it. Don't stress me. So I said, church was fine. I said, yes. I said, it was really fine. I said, yes. Said, wow. Oh, you came late. I said, actually, I said, okay. Go inside now. See, today we have not talked about the... We have not talked about the matter. Curiosity. And people go on a journey where there's no return. Curiosity. Number four, addiction can be the resultant effect of some trauma or abuse. Addiction can be a resultant effect of trauma or abuse. So I'm going to show you there are two ways people respond to trauma when it comes to, in respect to abuse. There are two ways people respond to trauma in respect to abuse. Are you with me? Are you with me? Number one, they begin to use the same thing that the abuser have done or something similar to ease their pain. The same thing or something similar to ease their pain. Maybe somebody took advantage of someone sexually, and the person begins to use something similar to that to ease the pain. Number two, some can't just help but going back to what was done to them. While it was psychologically hurting, it seemed like they enjoyed the experience. So they keep going back. Let me say this to you. In this regard, please get me right. You can be addicted to abuse. You can be addicted to being cut down to sizes. Because you just feel you don't deserve better. Yes, you can be. And then somebody can, maybe a woman raped a boy and then he didn't like it. But later he finds out that he didn't like it because of the woman, but he likes the experience. Then he begins that same experience with other people. All right? And then he can't stop. Most people who are doing things that they can't stop, somebody introduced them to it. And most times they are trusted people. They are trusted people. People that the family believe can't hurt a fly. And that's the problem in African home. We raise children for other people. We use our children to prove to others the kind of parent that we are. We don't raise those children for their future. That is, they know that if they do something, they will get a different kind of beating if it is done before guests. Because, not because you are trying to discipline the child, because you are trying to prove to the guest, this is not the way we raise our children. So what you do is that you build something in them called toxic admiration. They begin to see guests as better than them. Because even the best plate in the house are used for guests. So if you have a guest that now begin to touch that child, because you have built a culture of toxic admiration, the child can't talk. They see guests as special angels. It's a bad way to raise children. I'm going to touch parenting a bit here. Unfortunately, so this is Christmas period and many children will be abused again. And the parents keep taking them back to the same family house where they are abusing them. Because they trust the uncle over their own children. Some have not even built the system of knowing when your daughter is saying no. Are you aware that it is important to train your children to learn to say no? When they are affirmative and they are saying, don't just say stubborn. Understand that you are to train their will. Make them stand enough to say no. If you kill that thing, they will not be able to say no to outsiders. Jane, sit down there. Say, mommy, no. They are curious. Why should I sit down? Explain. See, the problem in Africa begins from childhood. Because we kill curiosity. We kill the ability to explain. We are trying to raise children like zombies. You don't question, you obey. And no society change until you question realities. You must question.
Yes, sir.
We just say these things and say, when I talk to you, you don't complain. You don't. No, they should ask questions.
Yes,
that's how we start. They are curious. They are wondering, why? Why would you just suddenly say I should have the cartoon? Children who are raised with explanation become better than those who are raised with force. And that's why when many children step out of their parent house, they know they will never come back. Because a soldier raised them. You didn't raise a friend. It is amazing how we become emotionally distant throughout their life. But when they start making money, we want to become friends. It becomes too late. It doesn't work anymore. You must understand that. Let me touch a bit on parenting. Are you with me? Are you getting blessed? Are you sure? Now I'm going to touch on a few things here. Some children began their journey into pornography because they saw it on their parents' phone. Yes. Maybe the father and the mother have a kind of magazine they put under their bed. You put something under your bed. Are you raising fools? You're not raising fools now. They will check the bed. They check everywhere. They check everywhere and they see it. And they will never talk. If some parents know the things some of their children have discovered about them, they probably will not be shouting the way they are shouting. The child knows many things just looking at them. The daddy is an elder in church, always saying, "Do you know that this is how we do in a Christian home?" The girl is just looking, elder. Elder. Because we forget that leadership is first a lifestyle. By example. By example. By example. You want to raise godly children, be godly parents. That's the way it is done. You can't give what you don't have. Are you following what I'm saying here? Some children began their journey to pornography. And some people began saying, "Ah, this is true." In fact, some began their journey to pornography by seeing it on their cousin's phone. The brothers. And all that. I know you love people, but you must doctor the environment for the sake of your children. Very important. Okay? Create right environment for children to grow. Okay? Let me say this to you. When it comes to parenting, suspect everybody. What did I say? When it comes to parenting, do what? Suspect everybody. Suspect the person taking care of the child. Suspect the teacher in school. Suspect all those that have access. You see, the moment you stop being suspicious, you are lowering your guard. Sometimes just break into, all right, the place where maybe the nanny, the school, check. Permit me to use this word. There are funny people out there. There are funny people out there who will do many things to children. Let me share this with you. There was a boy. This boy was in, I can't remember, maybe nursery three then or primary one, I can't remember. But he was around 7, 8. He has been expelled from 3 schools at that age. Alright, so what he does is that when girls are leaving the class, going to the toilet to ease themselves, he'll follow them. Then he'll start touching their genitals. Some of them are bold enough to come back to report. Sometimes the teachers will catch him, then they will expel him. So, and the teachers were complaining that even if you are flogging this boy, as you are flogging him, you will notice that your money is missing. Yes, right there. He's become so much of an expert that before you are done, your money is gone. He will remove the money. Alright, and he won't cry. So I became interested in this case. What is going on? This, that. Let me handle this boy's case. So I went to his house to see his parents. So when I got to the house, I knocked. Nobody was answering. I knocked. But so I saw that the door was not locked. So I opened. I mean, the family I knew. So I opened. Then I met the boy. I met the two elder brothers seated. And in front of them, a large television where they were watching pornography. Any work that takes you away from your children has taken too much from you. God's design of prosperity is not to make money at the expense of your family. I know you want to give them a good life. Having made that money, who will spend it? The children that your absence have destroyed? The children? You cannot outsource parenting. You can't. You can't. You have to be on ground. You are a single mother, something has happened, the father left, or maybe he's even no more. Trust God for grace to be everything to that child. Try your best and pray. Don't just give up and say, now that there's no father figure, what's going to happen? No. You have remarried, you now have your own husband who happened to be the child's stepfather. Don't say, is his stepfather? No. We have found wicked things in this world. That a man can sleep with the mother and sleep with the child. And when they complain, abuse the both of them. Sometimes the woman has found out, but we protect the man. And we rather call the girl a prostitute. That you are you trying to insult me? And sometimes it's not even the stepfather, it is the father of the child. If your husband is an abuser, call him out. I'm not saying go to social media. I don't know. I'm not going to get into that. All right? But I'm talking about make your children know that you stand for the truth. When listen, anyone you protect at the expense of your child, you have won that person and lost that child. That pain will never go away. Unfortunately, that pain becomes a foundation for another dysfunctionality in that child. Becomes a pain, a problem. Many of you know uncles that till today your parents still honor. But you know this is an abuser. They still consider them good men, but you know that if only they know that this guy is a wolf in sheep clothing. And parents will choose to trust the guy because every Christmas he brings a bag of rice. How many children can boldly walk to their parents and say, "This man touched me"? Because in Africa, we rather not talk about it. What we say is that if the day a man touch you, you get pregnant. How? Then he can't see that they are not pregnant. Let her know from young age, true songs. These are sensitive parts of your body. See, convert lessons into absorbable forms. Sing it out. Let them sing it. There are many songs like that. Train them to. Then the way you raise a girl child is different from the way you raise a male child. The world is hostile against women. You must first know that. Everybody wants to sleep with her. Even from young age. I've seen people that were arrested for touching 3-month-old baby. What will you gain? Then sometimes there are bruises. Sometimes. That the child that grows right into adulthood and can no longer respond to sex in an exciting way. That is, it is no longer exciting. Now it's pain. Alright? There are different things like that. There are practices, female genital mutilation, wickedness against women. Because they want to curtail immorality. We are not cultural, we are scriptural. That's our reference. And because these things run deep, the devil used that pain to draw them in a way to escape it. That's how addictions are formed. Use the pain to lure them with their pain. There are women that also abuse males. Teachers in school. And sometimes it's emotional abuse. The guy is passing, just eat his bum, eat his genitals. Now that's a man. Why are you doing that? Raise your children to be bold, to question their oppressors. No, you don't talk to me like that. Teach them to defend themselves. It's not a way of being rude. It's a way of being human. Don't kill their voice only to wonder why they are dull. Give them a voice. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Are you being blessed? The house is quiet. When it comes to parenting, never really trust your children into anyone's hands. Give room for suspicion. Particularly when it comes to your female children. Permit me, please, to give that exception. Now, create an atmosphere where they can express themselves. Never cut their affirmative nature because you want to lead them. They must be bold enough to reject what they don't want. Be careful of building a culture of toxic admiration in your children. When other children come, you know, I need to teach this. Because really, where addiction is coming from, we don't touch it. We just believe it's about pornography. It's about, no. There is something, there is a pain that the devil is taking advantage of. We must go to the source. Are you following what I'm saying now? There are people that even at in their adult stage, they are making their money. Sure. They are making their own money. They bought their plates and their cutlery and they can't eat with the best. They kept that one for visitors. Because the upbringing said, anybody who is visiting is better than you. They can't even eat correctly with their own money. If they take too much, they start feeling guilty. Their money. Because when you train your child, that is how it will go. Their money. So you raise children to have toxic admiration. See, I tell my wife, when we have guests, it doesn't matter who it is, we bless God for the guest. Well, you are the most important person to me. Very important. Thank God for the guest. Okay? See, let me tell you this. Let the person be a pastor or a bishop. Anybody you honor above your husband is not wisdom. The moment your pastor comes to visit, you will serve the pastor in the way you have never served your husband that paid your bride price. Where was this pastor in the days you were single? He said, God bless you. I married his own wife. No, we need to balance. Are you? No, you are quiet. Men, come back to the WhatsApp group. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
The best plates and cutlery in your house, who are they for? The day pastors come to greet. I have my own wife. And she honors me the way no one else can. Honor your own husband. The Bible said, women, love your own husband. Not another person's husband. Honor your own husband. Not another person's. Honor your own. Honor your own. Your own. Then men, love your wife. Not another person's wife. Including the one who is not married. Your own. Channel your affection towards your own. Then let your own too honor you. Don't build a culture of toxic admiration. Oh, wow. See who came to our house. Thank God for who is here. But we are also important. Okay? Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Are you learning something?
Yes,
now, listen to this. Now, this is where it gets serious. Now, addictions from mostly from toxic environment. Addictions from mostly from toxic environment. People who are from less toxic environment are less prone to addictions. That is what the environment communicate, the possibilities, what they see, what they hear. All right. A child can sit among some people and then they start saying things, some things about nudity, and these are things that will form imaginations that of the child. The child starts wondering, picks his phone, check online. You don't know a journey has started. Some of you heard about sex for the first time because somebody was describing it. You are watching a movie, they are kissing and talking. Now, are you aware they've stepped it up now? They are no longer afraid of showing any part of genitals. You now say, hey, close your eyes. That child will now go back. That part that they say, I should close my eyes, was there. We go back, reverse it, and check. Say, so this is what they don't want me to see, but they're enjoying it. I don't believe any movie is 18 plus. Some are not for Christians, period. No, if you are going to walk in purity, you must put a guard. You can't afford for anything to just come. Are you with me? Are you sure? Now look at this. Create an atmosphere that is conducive for the lifestyle you want to see in your house. There are songs that when people hear, the lyrics of the songs is enough to start something. The lyrics. What they are saying is vulgar. There used to be a body that checks all these things in Nigeria. Now it anything goes. Someone was asking, what's my greatest fear for the Gen Z world? I said, lack of censorship. A world where anything goes and everybody is free to do anything. When we have a world like that, it is hell. There must be walls for sanity. There must be walls. There must be restrictions. There must be. If not, people will kill themselves and say anything goes. You open the gate and tell people you have 24 hours to do anything you want to do. Blood will flow. Because some people want to kill. Some want to rape. They are going through pain and they feel, you must feel my pain. The society must be hot. And that's why I have concerns for our correctional systems in Nigeria. The prison services. People don't go there and get corrected. They go there and come back hardened. Most prisoners are coming there for the fourth time. Because they meet higher prisoners there that give them contract that will bring them back. We went to preach in the prison. Amongst those that came to accept Jesus, they stole my phone. Life no balance. No. You were, are you see? But that doesn't mean that he's not saved. But that appetite is the part that stole my phone now. And we began to ask, please. Because they said, we should drop phone outside. Me too, pastor. Did not drop phone. I get it somewhere. The boys have seen it. I was present. Say, Father, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Phone is gone. Let me say this to you. Anything you consistently do becomes the atmosphere around you. Anything you do consistently. If you get to a place where people pray, you will notice that you will not have to push to break through the atmosphere of prayer. It is there. The possibility is there. Consistent actions bet possibilities in atmospheres. Go to a place where people are always doing immorality. You just notice that there is a spirit that seems to be colonizing you, bringing the thought of immorality. This can crouch in your heart. Are you with me? So you want to create an atmosphere where children can be raised with sanity. Create an atmosphere of prayer, of worship. Sometimes just let worship song. See, this issue of I'm struggling with prayer. See, listen, you will struggle. It's just like a man who has left the wife throughout the day, never called her, didn't check up on her. Come at night and say, baby, offer. You will struggle small. But you don't want to struggle at night. Find a way to fill our emotional tank during the day. Hey, babe, just checking up on you. Got you some apples. Hi there. How you doing? Selfie. Check this out. You are filling the emotional tank. You want to pray 3 hours at night. You must know how to build during the day. Worship. Listen to a message. So, see, listen, this thing is not just done by Superman. There's a science to it. If you have not built during the day, you want to just come off and do 3 hours, you will struggle. Learn to build. Create an atmosphere. Let sometimes just instrumental playing, charging the atmosphere. You will notice that your spirit will begin to pray first. Later, you will catch up. You will notice that you just get to a point that your spirit is praying. Your spirit is praying. Listen to what I'm saying. There are people who are addicted to something. In the middle of the addiction, while they are doing it, either smoking or watching pornography, they notice, my spirit is singing worship. What is happening? The spirit is renewed. It is your nature of your soul that needs to catch up. Create an atmosphere for it to catch up. These things are not hard if we understand the science. I love boxing. When there's boxing match, I'm praying, my calmly, Lord, help them. But sometimes you want to wonder, is fight they are fighting? What is a girl with short skirt coming to do and say round 5? What is your own? If they punch you, will you stay? They are fighting here. Let somebody who is wearing something. But because it's a system. And the idea of the system is to bring you in a path. To get to a point where you have no control. It's a system. And what do you do? Build counter systems. Build counter systems. Build counter systems. Now, let me wrap up with this. The danger of addiction is this. Now, listen. Is that the devil wants the will of man. But he has found that the cheapest means for him to do it is to get the man to be hooked on something he likes. Then he can come behind the scene and use that thing to control him. To make him do. So, let me look at this. Look at this. Why did the Bible say that those that receive the mark of the beast are doomed? All right? Revelation 13. Because it is something that will collect the will of anybody that accepts it. That is, from that day, you can no longer make certain decisions. You'll be manipulated. I'm not here to talk about that yet. Is that okay now? The moment there is something there that the devil can now use to control the will, what that means is that the chances for the process of God to continue become slim. That thing is going to be the thief of your seasons. Once there is addiction, it will steal seasons. Seasons are time pregnant with a specific reality. It will steal preparation so that manifestation will be empty. The moment your time is not in your control, the devil is winning. And that's what he wants to do. So that it's a prison system. The things you want to do, you can't do them. You can't decide when you eat. You can't decide when you go out. You can't decide when you see people. Something keeps you indoor longer than you want to stay. You promise people, I'll come and greet you. You can't go. Because that holds you back all the time. We are going to go out today and see this. You can't step out. They wonder, what are you doing indoors? Something is stealing it. That's what it does. The devil wants to master you. And the cheapest way to do that is to get you hooked. It's going to master you. When it perceives that something is coming that is good, it quickly comes. Make it often. You miss the season. And people are at different levels in this. Some weekly, some monthly, some daily, some hourly. I'm going to show you how to deal with each of these things. Amen. But this is the consciousness. And you must understand this. You are not in that fight alone. That's the consciousness. It doesn't matter what we have described. The grace of God is there to pull you out. Where sin abides, grace abides much more. The duty of that grace is to bring you out of that mess. Are you following what I'm saying here? So what you do is that you yield to the energy of the Spirit in your spirit. You yield. Start putting controls in your environment so you will not frustrate the works of grace. Make it easy. Get out from toxic environment. Stop meeting friends that talk about women. Get out from toxic environment. Protect your heart. Protect your heart. The moment there's no gate over this heart, we'll be finished. Protect your heart. New year is starting. How many years have been wasted on the altar of that addiction? Some 10, some 12, some 15, some for as long as they can remember. And the question is, will you ever be free? Yes. But you have a role to play. You have a role to play. And that's why all the scriptures we read spoke about your duty. Now reckon ye yourselves to be slaves to righteousness. Reckon, we lay aside filthiness. We lay aside with the pumping of the grace on our inside. You can lay it aside. You can. One of the ways to lay something aside is to block some numbers. Every time they upload on their status, nude women. Why? If you mute, you still go. Many of you have over 10 muted contacts. That's the one you always go and check. True. So don't mute. Write the number somewhere, then delete it. So that you will not see it. So that you will not see it. I'm about to tell people, I'm sorry, I deleted your contact. I'm very honest. Say, Apostle, I don't see yourself. Say, sorry, I deleted your contact. I deleted it. Because I don't like what you are posting. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. For my own health. I can't form Superman. Man of God is still man. Yes, I can't form Superman. When you put that in there, I saw my body responded, it should not, but I don't like it, so I have to delete it. Don't say that. Now, where we have reached in the Holy Ghost, my body cannot go respond. They play. Where we have reached now, the level we are in, the mountain. They didn't tell you. Abraham was always on the mountain. It was one suggestion Sarah gave. He went in straight. Why? Because he's been thinking about it. This girl is not bad. Some suggestions will make you ready. For the day the opportunity comes, avoid it. Let's lift our hands to God. Say, I embrace grace in the name of Jesus. I am not a slave to sin. From today, I am not a slave to sin. I am not. Get up on your feet, please, can. Please get up, get up, get up. I'm not a slave to sin. I'm not a slave. I'm not a slave. I'm not a slave. I'm not a slave. I will not be mastered by this act. I will not be mastered by this act. I'm not a slave to sin. I'm not a slave to sin. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm not a slave to sin. I'm not. From today, no moment in my life will be wasted because the enemy has mastered me. No moment! No moment. Thank you, Father. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Affirm that though this might be going on, I have the nature of righteousness in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' mighty name we're praying. Now listen to this. There is something the anointing of God's power can do. It can break yokes also. Is that okay now? Sometimes it's a demonic cloud on someone trying to make the person repeat pattern. The first step to repeating the pattern of polygamy is pornography. That first step is always there. All right? Why me? Why is the devil trying to do this? One day, Jacob called his children. He said, Reuben, you are my firstborn. My might. He said, but you will not succeed. You will not excel. Because you went in to sleep with your father's wife. Then Joseph heard, this could have been me if I slept with Potiphar's wife. It looks as though around the same time, the same thing wants different men to fall. It is he that purged himself from this that now emerge as vessel to honor. Where are the rest? They couldn't come out. You will come out. Say the amen again. I say you will come out. You will come out. The secret of the devil as touching your life will not be hidden. In the name of Jesus. I stretch my hands and speak these words to you. You are breaking free. From today, you perceive the presence of God more than ever before. I rebuke that cloud. Be rolled away now. Every demon is chiefly responsible for patterns and repetitions. Enough is enough. Lose them and let them go. Lose them and let them go. Now, in the name of Jesus, there is emancipation. In the name of Jesus. Through the operation of the word, you begin to think on pure things. In the name of Jesus. It is done. In Jesus' mighty name. If you have been blessed, now give Jesus a very, very, very... Now, do so with excitement, excitement, excitement.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, FLAME. To partner with FLAME, kindly make use of these account details. 2215005289 UBA.